Okay, Jim, could you continue, please, the what you were trying to discuss with us about the Gordon and Jack situation before the break?
Oh, well, I mentioned, I think everybody agreed with me that what you saw there was a clash between two huge egos. You see it all the time. But I think both Jack and Gordon down deep had a respect for each other. Gary, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah, I would definitely say so. In fact, Bill Ryan, you haven't said much, but I think, because you have a grasp of the physics, weren't you rather impressed with Gordon's ability to go toe-to-toe with these guys like Pudoff and Sarfati with regard to the science? I mean, he never stepped back.
Yeah, absolutely. Gordon was fearless in almost everything he did, and that included taking on Sarfati and Hal Puthoff on their own home ground. And it was always fun to watch the online battles that took place. I would very much welcome Jack Sarfati joining us if he's able to, if we can get hold of him somehow. My guess is that Jack would be a real gentleman, because I think like two football players in the Super Bowl, they would tackle each other as hard as they possibly could do, and then they'd have a beer afterwards. And I don't think that there was any personal animosity there. It was all professional pride, and it was battling over the details of the extremely refined physics that they were debating. But I would very much like to give Jack the opportunity to say a few words, and I think that he would be very, very kind.
Yeah, Bill, on a different subject while we're waiting to hear from Jack, I'd like to know more, if possible, about this pilot that you and Carrie did with Gordon and why it never aired. I mean, what happened?
If you can get to the bottom of that, we would appreciate it.
So it's just kind of dribbled away, huh?
Well, I missed the first part of the show when this may have been discussed, and so I'm probably going to repeat what Kerry has already said, but it contained a lot of very heavy-duty stuff. We had Bob Dean on there at his very finest, talking for 5 minutes on what would have been mainstream television about how the president of the U.S. doesn't know what's going on. And as a highly respectable elder statesman, representing the retired military, for a lot of people who'd never heard such things being said before on television, his words would have had a lot of weight. And it's entirely possible that somebody said, you know what, this is just too sensitive and we can't let this air. I'd be very interested to know whether, Kerry, you've already spoken to that on the air before I joined in the show here.
No, I didn't talk too much at length about it. I did say the little anecdote where Gordon made them an offer, like I said, they shouldn't refuse, saying that they would make it a well-known, it would be a successful show if they accepted. I'm thinking that maybe they should have accepted the offer that the CIA run the show. But the bottom line is it didn't go anywhere. It went on the shelf, and it might be partially because of that. Do we have Jack? I gave them a number I have for Jack on the. I hear the phone ringing. Did we get Jack Sarfati?
No. We're going to try it again. But you might want to, if you can, if you have a cell phone or any other way to contact them, let them know about this.
All right.
So you can get us.
Okay, I'll do that.
You know, okay.
You know, about the television projects, I talked to Gordon several times about doing a couple of pilots, and they just kind of floated away. But Gordon was very interested in getting this message out on television, but it just never seemed to get there. You know, your interview with Gordon, Gary, is probably a classic. We did a pretty good interview with him as well. But they were few and far between, even though he was very accessible. We just never really got together on ground rules or whatever.
And I think that's, he was accessible in sort of a superficial way. But the bottom line is they were very particular. As I mentioned, they did vet the interview, although, like I said, also, and Bill will appreciate this, that they couldn't very well say, take this out, because the minute you take something out, we know damn well it's true, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And this is always their problem. But the bottom line is they had a handler in the room while he was doing the interview, which tells you how careful they were being with us and with the interview. There's just no doubt about that. So Gordon was accessible on one level, and on another level, he was very guarded.
True.
Well, Jim, chime in if you would, please, and let us know what you think about this.
About what? I do agree with Kerry that he was very open about a lot of things and pretty close to the chest about others. And again, he wanted to maintain his connections with CIA and other groups and the physicists and everybody else, and yet at the same time try to bring all this out. Now, that's a pretty delicate tightrope walk, you know.
It's true. And he more than once told me, just like he's told you, Jim, that he didn't work for the CIA. He worked actually, he said, down in the garrison thing when he was doing the little dirty tricks here. He actually is working for somebody in the White House. That's what he told me. Did he tell you that?
Yeah, told me the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's possibly true. And again, let's not forget, we're talking about Gordon's life here. I think the Gordon Novell that was a hotshot boy entrepreneur, getting his kicks by hobnobbing with the CIA and the anti-Castro Cubans and the White House and all the political stuff that was going on back in the 60s and 70s, I don't think that's the exactly the same Gordon Novell that we knew in the late 90s and through the 2000s.
Yeah, I think you're right. One thing I've always regarded, I never got to ask him if he knew Chase Brandon. because of Chase's book and all of that, and the fact that he worked in Hollywood as a liaison for the CIA. And we could say all we wanted to say about Gordon, but he was still starstruck. Showbiz was in his blood.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't guess y'all have even mentioned the suit he had going about going after the estate of Billy Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Just sorry to break in here. Just want to let you know I did leave a message for Jack Sarfati. The phone did ring through to a message machine, so if he gets the message, I've had him call me back on my cell. If he does, I'll put into my chat whatever you want me to have him do, and we'll see if we can add him. I don't know if he's going to get the message or not.
Well, let me interject a comment from the chat room here. What progress had Gordon made on his starport concept? And maybe Kerry and Jim or Bill, maybe one of the three of you or even Jerry can chime in on what kind of ideas you may have heard from Gordon on the progress he may or may not have made on starport concept.
Well, Gordon never really talked to me too much about that. I'm probably the only one in this group that was more interested in the clandestine parts of Gordon Novell's life than the technical things and this anti-gravity, for lack of a better term, that he had. Gordon was ate up with it. I mean, he believed in it wholeheartedly. And he might have had the answers. And we do know that the good old boys in down in Jim's area, in my area here in Oklahoma, and down in Texas, they're not very friendly to the idea of free energy.
Now that's a huge story, going back all through the 20th century, that the suppression of energy. Whether free energy or just cheap energy, it doesn't matter. It's really amazing. all you have to do is just watch the gasoline prices, and when everything's goes down, when nobody's buying, and it gets to be summertime and vacation time, it goes up. So, you know, I think I'm reminded of a cartoon where the oil executives are throwing darts at a dartboard, you know, $4.95, okay, you know, and they just pick it that way. But I think Gordon's idea, the thing is, again, back to the entrepreneur aspect of him, I know I was trying to keep up. He was preparing, and in fact, I helped him prepare proposals to God, everybody from, I don't know, everybody from Henry Kissinger on down, because he was trying to get somebody to get behind his energy program. He said, this is how we can make everybody in the world wealthy, okay? Because if you have your own energy and you don't have to worry about energy, well, you can grow crops and you can make clothes, you can do all kinds of things, and you're not going to be just a consumer slave. And he would go to these groups. There would be meetings. People would look at it. Everybody would go, yay, yay, Ray. But then just, you know, mysteriously doors would close. Nothing would happen, and he would move on to his next attempt at trying to get funding. But this is one of the problems and dichotomies of today's world. If you have something that's going to be a medical breakthrough or an energy breakthrough or whatever, and to make it effective, you need money, okay? And yet when you go to the people who have the types of money that it would take to actually produce, distribute, publicize something of that magnitude, hey, they don't want to shake up their status quo. They don't want to give up the money they've already got for the chance that there might be better money up ahead. So it's really a strange thing. But he just kept at it right up to the end.
Yeah, and I think Gordon was well aware of this dichotomy, as you put it, Jim. And, you know, it's, and I made some comments about Gordon always asking for money. Well, you have to have money to do your projects. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. You know, that's a double-edged sword of people. You know, I've heard people claim that I write books just to make money. You know, well, I try to explain, hey, the New York Times publishes news, but, you know, is it because they're just want to be philanthropic and give us news? No, it's so they can sell advertising so they can make money. You know, unfortunately, it's all about money. Yeah, you know, you'd be as philanthropic as you want to be, but at the end of the day, you got to pay your bills just like everybody else, so everybody has to figure out.
Absolutely. Well, let me
hey,
say.
I'm sure yeah. Carrie and Bill understand that better than anybody. I know both, and I know that both of them have been doing what they want to do out of a love for truth and trying to get truth out. But at the end of the day, both Bill and Carrie, they got to pay their bills. So they got to figure out some way to do what they want to do, need to do, desire to do, and yet make a little money at the same time.
What's important to remember here, this is a conversation that Carrie and I had with Hal Puthoff himself. It was a few years ago, and this was early on in the days of Camelot. And as everyone knows, Hal Puthoff's been around for quite a long time, and he's deeply connected himself, and he very, very gently advised us. He said, never try to prove anything. He says, you can write about UFOs, you can write about free energy, you can write about all this stuff as much as you like. If you start publishing documents or building devices or showing that you've got a UFO in your garage that's actually going to fly, then come down heavy. And many free energy inventors, many people like Otis Carr way back in the early 1960s who actually did something that was bad, they were stomped on pretty damn hard. In the meantime, right. The powers that be don't mind people talking about stuff as long as that's all that they do. And Gordon was trying to do more than that.
Yes.
Yeah, well, along those lines, let me tell you that I do recall now, it's coming back to me, that the last time I talked to Gordon, and I can't remember when that was. I guess it wasn't that long ago because he wasn't sick though, I have to say. But he was about to go to, I have to say, he was about to go to the Arabs with his ideas. Mm-hmm. He was getting fed up, And I mean, he would talk to anybody. He would talk to the Chinese. He would talk. I mean, he was a patriot. Don't get me wrong. But on the other hand, he was a businessman, and he wanted to see this come to the world. And I know he was getting frustrated, as he did at time from time to time, because, like I said, I also think that they were playing him as a patsy. And I told him to his face this many times. And but the bottom line is that I think he was about to go to the Arabs. I think he wanted to go talk to some people. I don't know if it was in Iran or wherever. Now, this could be the reason why he suddenly had a bad turn of health. This is the kind of thing that goes on. You know, we don't know what really went on there. And I just know his drive. This is a man that was incredibly driven. If he could stay alive, he would. I can't believe that he's actually passed on so quickly at this point. You know, all of us have to go at some point, for sure. And we do choose our times. I appreciate that. But I have to say that Gordon, even to this moment, I'm sure he's fighting mad that he's been pushed out of the game.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
It's just the way he was.
Well, Jim, you know, you're going to have to leave at the top of the hour, and before we have to go into the commercial break, I want to thank you again for coming in and for joining in on the phone call, Jim.
Yeah, I'm going to have to leave too here. I have an appointment coming up.
Well, I appreciate it. I think we'll speak for all of us. So that Gordon Novell was a really fascinating character, and I think, in fact, I told him he went. See, there's again, he went around telling everybody I was going to be his official biographer. Well, hey, I never signed anything on that. I never even agreed to that. But what I will say, and I said to him, I said, look, nobody's going to be able to write a truthful biography of you until you have passed from the scene, because you're going to be there looking over their shoulder and tell them, no, it's this, it's that, it could be this, and it might have been that. So I look forward to, as the months and years go by, I think we're going to begin to get a broader and probably more truthful view of our Gordon Novell. And I look forward to it, because he was a fascinating person.
Are you going to actually write the biography now, Jim?
I don't have any plans to do that at this moment, but who knows?
Things can change here, Paul, immediately. You never know.
You never know.
Jim's absolutely right about the thing that we didn't mention, and we should have, is Gordon was a PR genius as well.
Yes.
And he knew the value of Jim Mars's name. And, you know, he knew the value of being on certain talk shows. Now, there's nothing wrong with that at all. And that's how he got to where he got to where he is on this project, which was against multi-billion-dollar corporations. He still was making progress.
Right.
Don't you agree? I mean, he knew how to play everybody.
So now, without him playing, maybe we'll find out what's really going on and what really needs to be done about this. I just want to say I hope somebody continues his work with the torsion field energy project. I think it has a lot of merit, and I think people who are smarter than I am and know physics more than I do might be able to actually figure it out, and it could usher in a whole new day on this planet.
Well, I bet that you're going to use his plans. I have to say that he was also a very classic top executive in the sense, and Rich Dolan will appreciate this, although he's not on this call now. He knew how to select a really crack team. And he knew how to go out and basically kind of wine and dine and persuade and get those people to work together, and he was a true leader in that sense. That's a unique quality. A lot of leaders don't know how to choose a team. They tend to choose people that are dumber than them, and that's always the wrong thing to do. Gordon knew the principle the actual principle of leading a team, which is to hire people that are really brighter than you in every area, so that you are then, and the project has a better chance of success. And that's really, he wasn't going to stand on ceremony. He, as much as he had ego, he almost had ego in the right places. I would be one to say that, because he knew when to step back. He knew when to bring the right person forward. And he, at the same time, he went toe to toe with them. So he was a very good leader in that respect.
Yeah. Well, and one more thing, you know, we still have time, and we only have about a minute or so left before the break. Let me thank Jim and Jerry both for spending some good time with us, discussing their recollections of Gordon Novell, his flamboyance, and his ultimate agenda, and that was to ram alien technology into the forefront using any means possible. I mean, and I use the term ram, pardon me, quite literally, and that was part of the name of what he used. Too bad, though, he won't be here to finish the work.